Well, some of you might be happy to know that this is the last in our shipwrecked series. Next week, it's just Jesus rescues. And so we say goodbye to our shipwreck up here this week. And I want to get this out of the way right at the beginning. This is not going to be a sermon about you giving more to the church. Our theme for this week is shipwrecked finances. And it's something that we're all in danger of at any time. Some kind of a crisis can put us in a financial crisis. And when finances are shipwrecked, it affects so many other parts of our lives. According to a Gallup poll, finances are the top things that people worry about in the United States. According to a Good Housekeeping survey, it's one of the top five reasons why married people fight. And according to the survey that you read, it's either the second or one of the top 10 causes of divorce in the United States. Shipwrecked finances. And there are two ways, two types of shipwrecked finances, and the one is the one that we would normally think of. When you feel like you don't have enough, there's not enough to provide food and shelter and clothing, the basic needs of your lives. But the other way that you can have shipwrecked finances is when you have too much and you're worrying about it all the time. Is somebody going to take my money? Are the stock prices going to go down? What do I do with this money? How do I invest this money? And that is also shipwrecked finances, because both of these situations in our lives take our mental and emotional energy and rob us of the possibility of using these resources that God has given us to bring us joy. Now, money is important, and I know it is important. It's important because it's what we get back for the work that we give, for the days and hours of our lives that we give away in order to earn it. It's important because it's what we use to support our family. And it's also what we use to give ourselves the joy of being generous. Now, people will say, well, the Bible says money is the root of all evil. But actually, that is not what the Bible says. The verse is from 1 Timothy chapter 6, and it's verse 10. And the Bible actually says, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And in their eagerness to be rich, some have wandered away from the faith. So it's not money itself that's evil. Money is neutral. It's not good or bad. It's simply neutral. But the love of money is what leads us into evil, into sin, and into despair. It leads to shipwreck when we trust money more than we trust God. Jesus knew that this was a problem. He knew that it was a temptation. And so he said, as a part of the Sermon on the Mount, no one can serve two masters. For a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. When we depend on money for our security and our future, when we give money that kind of power, there is never enough. There is never enough money to provide for all of our needs in all of our lives. And of course, we know that there are so many things that money can't buy. Money can't buy health or love or true friends. And so when we put our trust in money, the love of money becomes the root of shipwrecked lives. Dealing with shipwrecked finances means putting God first in our lives. And the promise that Jeannie just read from Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, is this: my God will fully supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. When you put God first, your needs are provided for. God will take care. God will supply the needs because God is rich in generosity. And as is mentioned here, it's proven. God's love and God's care for us is proven in sending us Jesus for our salvation, for our care. So the question we need to ask is, do I trust God with my money? Can I put my financial well-being completely into God's hands? Take my responsibility, do what I need to do, and then trust that God will care for me. And if not, then that needs to be a matter of prayer. God, help me to trust you. God, help me not to obsess on my finances. God, help me, once I've done my best, not to worry about it. And maybe even memorize that text from Philippians 4, verse 19. God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Now, I have to confess to you that there have been times in my life when I have fallen to this, when I've fallen to trusting money more than I trusted God. I found myself worrying. One of those times was as I moved into my 60s. And, of course, you know that retirement is someplace out there looming in the future. I don't know when, but it's out there. And began to think to myself, well, do we have enough saved? Are we going to be able to take care of ourselves? What is it? You know, thinking about it without any facts or examining, just worrying. And I finally came to the conclusion, you know, when we were early married and were struggling, God provided. And sometimes God provided a little anonymous gift, something that we particularly needed. And so why am I worrying about that now? When I have done my best, God will provide. But, you know, it took me a while to get out of that cycle. I really had to pray about it, and I really had to say, God, just help me to trust you in this and help me to stop thinking about it all the time. Now, I think it's really important to note in this scripture verse from Philippians that the scripture actually says, my God will supply all your needs. And that's the difference sometimes. It doesn't say God will supply all of your wants. And it then means that we have to learn the difference between needs and wants. I need food to keep my body strong, to give me energy. I do not need chocolate and soft drink. I have to keep telling myself that. I need shelter. I need a roof over my head to keep me warm in the wintertime, to keep the rain off. I do not need a huge house, and in fact, that becomes a burden to me if I have it. More to clean, more to take care of. So part of what the scripture is telling us in terms of finding help from shipwrecked finances is to differentiate between needs and wants. But then there's another promise, and this is part of what Jeannie read to us from 1 Corinthians. Or from 2 Corinthians, I'm sorry, chapter 9, verse 8. And God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that by always having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every good work. You know, the promise is not only that we will each have enough to provide for our needs, but that God will also give us enough to be generous, either generous with our money or generous with our time, giving us the joy, a godly joy of sharing and seeing that our sharing makes a difference. Makes a difference at National Night Out as people went through the line, and we had a sign this year that said that this was provided by Fishing Creek Salem United Methodist Church. And as people went through, many people would say thank you, but many people would also say God bless you. And we get the privilege to use our money, to use our financial resources to bless others and to receive that kind of blessing in return. Most of us sitting here this morning do have enough to provide for our actual needs, food, clothing, and shelter. But I am aware that there are those who do not have enough in this world. There are enough resources in the world to care for everyone so that everyone has enough food and shelter and clothing. But those resources are not distributed equally. And so there are some who live in abject poverty, without enough even to live. And so God calls us, us who have enough, to allow our plenty to provide for their need. And if we are looking to God, if we are trusting God for our future and our security, and if we are making that differentiation between needs and wants, then God will provide for those needs and will provide enough to be generous and will also provide enough for chocolate every once in a while and some nice things for our houses and will provide for a little vacation even if it's just camping. God is generous to us in that way. If you are living right now in the midst of shipwrecked finances, we're going to provide some help here at Salem in the beginning in September. And that help is going to be in the form of Financial Peace University. We're providing three different opportunities on Monday evenings at 6:30. It will begin, Monday, September 10. Mondays at 6:30, Wednesdays at 6:15, and there will be childcare available, and then Thursdays at 6:30. Now, what you might kind of choke on if you're in the midst of a financial crisis is $109. But I want to say to you, if you are in the midst of shipwrecked finances and you need this, do not let finances be any part of it. We are offering absolutely full scholarships, half scholarships, three-quarter, quarter scholarships, whatever you need to be a part of Financial Peace University. If you are married, the two of you get to come together, and it will be totally confidential. You'll let me know, or Pastor Jenny, or Susan Ryder, our director of small groups, and no one else in the class will know that you are scholarships. So what I want to say is this is an opportunity that God has provided, and it's really the best thing that I have ever seen, to help people manage their finances in a way that is godly and in a way that provides for all of our needs. Let's watch this little bit of a video, a little bit of an introduction to Financial Peace University.
So I assume you're here to do a debt-free scream.
We sure are.
So how much have you guys paid off?
We paid off $44,000. And it took us 39 months.
Every time I see guys like you all, it gives me hope for the future. You guys are awesome. So what did you learn in Financial Peace University that helped your marriage?
We've just learned so much about each other and strengthened our marriage just through this whole process, growing and learning how to, you know, take care of our finances and take care of our future.
Easily one of the best things we did for our marriage.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Very proud of you guys. You did it. You sacrificed. You paid off $44,000 worth of debt in 39 months. Justin and Sammy, count it down. Let's hear a debt-free scream.
Three, two, one.
Let me say, if you've been through Financial Peace University in the past, either here or somewhere else, you can have a refresher course totally free. That is paid for life. So if you have your kit or you can borrow a kit from someone, you can do that with at no cost at all if you've been through it before. We don't need to have shipwrecked finances. We don't need to be worrying about it. We don't need to have it rob us of the joy in our lives. When we trust God with our future and for our future security, when we learn to know the difference between our needs and our wants and we do our part, the scripture reminds us from Corinthians, again, chapter 9. God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that by always having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every good work. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way for your great generosity, which will produce thanksgiving to God. And so I invite you, allow Jesus to save you from this shipwreck if this is a place where you find yourself. Let us pray. God, we give you thanks that you are so generous to us, that you care for our needs in every way. And so help us. Help us to trust you and to not allow this concern for financial resources to rob us of the everyday joy of living with you and receiving all the blessings that you want to give us. In Jesus' name, amen.